Good evening, friends and family, and welcome to the Sunday Morning Breakfast, Monday Night Raw, the Learning Center. We are truly excited to be here, excited that we are just truly present in this topic of managing emotions, getting to the root of me. This topic has truly been phenomenal at looking at what it is that we are doing when emotions strike. Are we following what our flesh is saying? Are we following what the world does? Are we looking to God to answer those things and to guide us in the path where to go? So before we go any further, let's go ahead and introduce our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr. Good evening, Mr. Carr. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. What about yourself?
Doing great, sir. Hope you've made it a marvelous Monday.
I have. You don't have to be nervous. But what I want you to do right quick is go ahead and let Ms. Candy run the call, please.
Okay, sir. No problem. Good evening, Ms. Candy. Good evening, Ms. Candy.
Okay. Not a problem. Well, nevertheless, let's go ahead and open up with prayer. Is Ms. LaTanya there?
She is.
Can you hear me now, Ms. Tiana?
Slightly.
Hello?
Come on, let's get Ms. LaTanya. Come on, Ms. Tiana.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, and Ms. LaTanya is here on the line, sir.
All right, Ms. LaTanya, go ahead and open us up with prayer, please. Father God, I thank you for this call on this evening, Father. I thank you for the message that I've been able to present this week, Father. Father God, the word has gone forth, and we hope that it has enriched everyone's spirit, man, and everyone's soul, Father. Right now, even on this evening, Father God, as we take in part in another opportunity to receive what you have shared with us, Father God, that you have blessed us or graced us to know, Father God, we ask that our hearts may be enlightened, Father God, that our visions may be clearer than what they were yesterday, Father. We ask that you continue, Father God, to pour into us, Father God, and that we may continue to receive from you. Father God, right now we repent, Father God. We turn away from those things that you do not delight in, Father God. We ask for your forgiveness, Father God, for the things that we know of that are sin and the things that we don't know of, which is sin. Father God, we ask that we may be able to walk upright, Father God, according to your word and your standards. We thank you and we praise you this evening. In the mighty name of Jesus, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
All righty. So, yeah, what we're going to do is we're going to go forward with the call on this evening. Is Mr. DJ there, Ms. Tiana?
Yes, he is, sir.
All righty, good. Go ahead and mute him, and everybody else can go mute. Okay. Mr. DJ, how are you this evening?
Man, I am wonderful, wonderful. How about yourself?
I'm doing wonderful, man. We're going to rock and roll, so we got to get it now. Okay, this topic about managing emotions, what was your take on this past week?
This was a powerful topic personally for me. I've always said that attitudes aren't necessary, especially if you're trying to communicate. And I knew that, but it got a little deep for me. That phrase, what would Jesus do, just kept jumping out at me. And the reason why is because, you know, you have to deny yourself. It's not even about you personally. It's bigger than that. So you must align your actions, your attitude with what Christ would do. You just think about the things that he went through. And, you know, who are you to say that, no, that's not me, that's not of me, or how dare someone put me through that? So basically what I'm saying is I wasn't selfish, but at the same time, it helped me to better understand and get out of myself and deny myself when it comes to dealing with people and certain things that happen. You know, if I may, when you say stuff like, for instance, you're in a gym, you're dealing with people that's training or lifting weights, and you see somebody lifting those big weights, you know, and you're like, oh, wow, you know, that joker's strong. Ooh, that joker's strong. But the fact is, he's not strong because of the amount that he can lift. He's strong because the Lord has given him the strength. So we must pray for the strength, not to make that thing lighter. Sometimes we catch ourselves praying and saying, oh, man, you know, ooh, if this could only be a little lighter. Or why is this happening? Could it just lighten up a little bit? Don't pray for it to lighten up. Pray for your strength to get you through it. That's where your strength comes from. So, you know, get your spirit man right, in other words. And that's what I got. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So tell me, Mr. DJ, from this week, have you encountered anything dealing with emotions this week that may have swayed you or the devil tried to uproot that word that we have received this past week?
Definitely. And that's every day because, you know, I find myself with some people who will do you wrong, so to speak, and you know they wrong. You know they're doing you wrong or mistreating you or trying to do you harm. And then, you know, I've had the opportunity actually to turn a deaf ear to them and see how they like it. You know, and I was contemplating with that, but I didn't. I honestly did not. You know, and I was very pleased at that, you know, that I was able to go ahead and do things in good conscience. Sometimes when you do stuff with folks and they know that they've done you wrong, it'll eat their conscience up. But it's not even about that. Not even about that at all. You got to do what God wants you to do. So, yes, that definitely, you know, hit home.
That's correct. I do agree with you on that one, Mr. DJ. I do agree with you. So, y'all, as y'all know the topic, this week we've been dealing with managing emotions, getting to the root of me. Okay? And we definitely got to get to the root of us, who we are. And it is just so funny, Mr. DJ, because a lot of times we don't want to deal with who we are. It's easier for us to deal with everybody else.
That's right.
But we got to deal with us.
That's
y'all
right.
You
know what, Mr. Hart, it's funny that you said that because, you know, a vampire is a bad joker. You know, he go out at night and wreak havoc and everybody's scared of him until what? Until he run by a mirror.
That's right.
Go by
That's
a mirror,
right.
No. He can't stand no light knowledge. And he can't stand no mirror, self.
Come on.
So
that's what it is, y'all.
Exactly.
And that's typically that's typically how it goes. Two vampires cannot stand light, and they definitely can't stand no mirrors. The thing about it is, you know, when we're managing those emotions, it's easier for us to see emotions in other people, but never the emotions that we exemplify or exuberate in. And you know what's so funny about that, Mr. DJ, is, when it comes to our emotions, we give our emotions a pass.
Yep.
When it comes to the emotions of others and what they do, not so much. So, y'all,
that's right.
Again, we're talking about managing emotions this evening, getting to the root of me. Okay? How you doing, Ms. Dina? So, we're on Facebook Live as well, y'all. So, y'all, make sure y'all get on Facebook Live. Tell us, MCAR, get on that. I see Ms. Dina, Ms. Brenda is here, Ms. Kimberly, and Ms. Carla and Ms. Shabri. All right, we're getting them in. Ms. Robin, I see you. Ms. Tressa. Ms. Alicia. Aisha. Ms. Shanoa. Okay. So we on, y'all. All right. So managing our emotions. Let's get to it. We have some email questions that we want to answer, y'all. Y'all know we're on the line, too, on the phone line. Make sure that you go ahead and press *5 if you want to get to the email questions. And then if you have anything out there on Facebook Live, we'll get to those too. How are you doing, Ms. Shiren? All right, let's get to it. The first email question, what do we have? Let's go ahead and get to it. Ms. Tiana, hey, Ms. Katina, I see you now. Let's get to the email question. How are you doing, Ms. Carla? What we got, Ms. Tiana? Let's get to our first email question, please.
All right, we have our first caller on the line. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question for this evening.
Good evening, everybody. Have a question for you tonight. That question is ambition an emotion that needs to be managed?
Is ambition an emotion that needs to be managed? Now, Facebook Live, make sure y'all also chime in. Is ambition an emotion that needs to be managed. How you doing, Miss Monique? I see you. So let's get to it. Can y'all answer that for me? Is ambition an emotion that needs... What you got, Mr. DJ?
First of all emotions need to be managed. Okay? Mm. You have to be careful. All emotions have to be managed. If they're not for the good or glory of God, then you don't need to be fooling with it. So all of them need to be managed. You can be ambitious about God, okay? But you also can be ambitious about doing something wrong. So
right.
That needs to be clarified a little more. But either way it goes, all emotions need to be managed. You know, if they're not for the common good or for the glory of God, then, you know, you need to change the direction of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all got that?
Yes.
So, Miss Tamara, I see you. Miss Valerie, Miss Raven, I like. Okay. Miss Kawana, right. Miss Tanette, there she goes. She's back on. So, is ambition an emotion that needs to be managed? Let's look up this word ambition. Okay? Let's look up ambition. Anybody has a definition of ambition?
Eager.
Mm-hmm.
It's seeking to fulfill your desire.
Ambition. Being eager.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're trying to fulfill some desires. The definition according to Webster is a strong desire to do or to achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. Now, here's the thing with ambition. It is definitely an emotion that needs to be managed. Because we can be so ambitious. What comes to mind, Mr. DJ, and everybody on Facebook Live, what comes to mind is this. The Bible says that, and hear me good now, when we, the desires of our heart, God will give us, it says, but if you delight yourself in the Lord, if the Lord is delighted, if he's pleased with what you're doing, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, you know, the Bible says he watches over his word to make sure it fulfills itself, not our word. So we have desires, but God has desires. In other words, we have ambitions, but God has a protocol. Okay? He has a purpose. He has destiny for us. So, yes, of course, our ambitions need to be managed, because what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? Don't you know ambitious people can reach and gain and have all these multiple businesses and everything is going great? Y'all remember the story of the rich young ruler? He had it going on. Probably was very ambitious. He was no slouch. Okay? He had it going on. He can have his pick of the litter. Okay? Here's the problem, though. He didn't manage his ambition. How you doing, Miss Latricia? His ambition was never managed, meaning that it was about him and not about God. Y'all know God laughs at our plans, right? So when we say God laughs at our plans, that means he laughs at our ambition. Now, some may say, hold on, God put that desire in us. Not necessarily true. Because if your ambition does not push the kingdom of heaven higher, you think it came from God?
Mm.
If our ambition takes away, how you doing, Ms. Anisha Wade? If it takes away from the purpose of God, does it really mean that it came from God? All ambition managed. Our desires have to be managed, because if they are not managed, we'll start chasing things that God tells us not to chase. You know, like money. And I know people say, well, there's nothing wrong with making money. You're absolutely right. The thing that's wrong with money is when we start to serve money as opposed to making money serve us. So we get in this emotional tailspin. And then money makes us happy, but money, the lack of, can make us sad. Well, nothing should have our heart like that. The only thing that should have our heart like that is God. So that's also with ambition, because what will happen is if we mismanage ambition, Mr. DJ, help me out now, Mr. DJ, if we mismanage ambitions, we'll start to say, hey, I'm successful here, but I'm failing here. And so we'll start to build on everything else but being successful in God. Because we lay out the blueprint according to our ambition. You remember, charity, love starts at home. So how is it that we can love God, right? We love God so much, put him to the wayside when it comes to our ambition. In other words, ambition is when I see myself succeeding, not when God sees me as succeeding. In other words, I can do some scandalous stuff that God might not be pleased with, but I'm happy with.
That's right.
That's real.
Hey, that's true, right? How you doing?
Oh, it is.
Miss King, you're from Ohio, okay? But y'all see what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Miss Tanessa is confirmation. Our pastor just spoke on this on Sunday. Okay, how you doing, Miss Bates, Miss Crystal, Miss Candy, all right? Y'all follow me? So, Mr. DJ,
yeah.
I want you to further that, Miss. Can ambition, does all ambition have to be managed? All our desires, do they have to be managed?
I think all our emotions have to be managed. And if ambition is one of them, yes.
That's correct.
Because you have to be able to direct it the right way it should go.
That's right.
Like you said, if you slip in that, then you'll start making the world your measuring stick rather than
Christ. That's right.
And when you do that, whatever you do, not just with ambition, everything else to come under that, you're going to start justifying stuff that ain't right, which is going to make it totally wrong.
That's right. All right, let's get to it.
And Mr. Clark, can I share a scripture that goes with that?
Okay, go ahead.
From 1 Peter 4:2, it says, from now on, then, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires.
Okay.
And when I read that,
human desires are our human emotions. Y'all know
mm-hmm.
our emotions drive our desires. Our desires don't drive our emotions. See, the Bible says, you know, we are tempted by our own lust. We are pulled away. Temptation, we are pulled. No, God tempts no one. But we are drawn away by our own lust and desires. In other words, where do you think Satan come in? Where does you think sin creep in on us? Come on, cuz, Ricardo, I see you out there. Sin creeps in through what, Mr. DJ? Our emotions.
Through our desires, through our emotions, when we open the door and allow him to come in.
That's right. Y'all know when somebody get emotional, you know when your child, come on, cuz, Ricardo, talk to us. When that child had them crocodile tears, they can get over on us, right? Especially for the fathers with our little girls. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You know, come on, mama. For them little boys. Them little boys, you'd be like, that's my baby. Your baby's 35 years old. He said, that's still my baby. They're getting over on you, right?
That's right.
Be careful with those emotions, because if they're mismanaged, boy, we'll be in for a world. We'll be, roller coaster ride, 101. We will be up and down. So I got another email question. Let's get to it. Miss Shiren. This comes from Miss Shiren Bove. The question says, does discernment require the use of our emotions? Again, y'all, help me out there on Facebook Live. Does discernment require the use of our emotions? Mr. DJ, what you got?
Definitely. Yes, it does. Discernment does require the use of our emotions. It's nothing you really can function without having emotions, because we're human. I mean, but the way you manage them, that's what determines whether or not you're favorable within the Lord. There are several ways you can deal with discernment. Sometimes good, sometimes bad. If you let something happen to a family member out there, and, you know, as Christians, first thing we're going to always say, if it ain't our family member, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for both of them. But let it hit a little close to home. Let somebody do something to your mama, to your child. You ain't trying to hear that right then. You know,
mm-hmm.
so now what? You know, so that's what I said. Those emotions can be real tricky. I think I heard you say, just as well as a song, say emotions can make you cry sometimes.
Hey, that's
you
what
know,
they, I think that
was. Yeah.
Somebody said.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, yeah, they can. And those same tears, see, that's the funny thing about tears. They come out your ducts, your pupil ducts in your eyes, and they cleanse you. Sometimes
right.
They can be a little salty, but that's why it's designed to cleanse, to get that up out of there with those emotions. It's almost like a little bit of your brain leaking a little bit through your eyelids. But guess what? Emotions, people can sing or hear a song and get happy, okay? The same tears are the same ones that'll fall when you're mad and when you're sad.
Okay. Okay, check this out. Let me get to that question, Mr. DJ, because he's going somewhere with that, and I like that. So, y'all, check this out. Okay? Now, that's Mr. DJ from A, the A, Atlanta. Y'all didn't know.
That's right. Undefeated Falcons. Yes, sir.
So, y'all, look at this. Let's look at the word discernment first and foremost, because the question asked was, does discernment require the use of our emotions? That was the question. Y'all got it? Look
right.
at the word
yes.
in a Bible dictionary. To discern means to be able to separate the things from God and the things not from God.
Mm-hmm.
Push between good and evil. Discerning of spirits is the ability to tell whether one is speaking by the Holy Spirit or a false spirit. So the question was, does discernment require the use of our emotions? Ms. Candace said, absolutely not. Okay? I love these calls. Discernment does not require your emotions. Here's the thing why discernment does not require emotions. Our emotions stem from what? Our flesh.
From flesh.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. So watch this. Nothing, the N-O-T-H-I-N-G, nothing good comes from the what?
Flesh.
Flesh. So if it comes from the flesh, how can it be connected to helping us discern the things of God?
Exactly.
Ms. Anderson, I see you, Ms. Dantra. He said discernment is from God. There's a separation. That's correct. So discernment does not require our emotions. See, this is where we come to a pinnacle and we get in trouble. So we go to church and we pray for discernment. And we say, I feel the Holy Spirit. You didn't feel no Holy Spirit. The pastor just raised up the air conditioner. He lowered the air conditioner. He put it on 73, 72. It was 90 up in there. Just got a little cool breeze.
That's what it was.
That's all it is. You got a little cold in there. You're talking about no, somebody turned the fan on. Listen to what I'm saying, and I'm being wholeheartedly honest. Discernment has nothing to do with your flesh. It has everything to do with your spirit man. As a matter of fact, if you're able to discern things through God, you will stumble across it. Not out. You know how people say, hey, please tell me God got something from me, and I need it from you. You can't tell God when to tell you, you know, what it is and what it's not. See, in other words, discernment doesn't mean that you're always going to walk with it. God will allow you to, Lord, y'all got to hear me.
Come on.
Your emotions will take over. God would allow us to use discernment in this season and not that season. Sometimes God wants us to wander out there, okay, so he can reel us right back in. Because just think about it. If discernment was, you know, allocated or, you know, required with your emotions, then we would think that we have it going on.
Yes, it's true.
Torah says, tough to let go. I want to lead and take control. That's absolutely right. Okay? So when we discern things, discernment comes by way of God. That means, because y'all know we'll start feeling a certain way about people, and we'll say, there's just something about them that my spirit, man, I'm vexed in the spirit. In other words, you're saying you're discerning things, right, Mr. DJ? That's what we say. Now, what happened
right.
is, when it comes back and your feeling and your discernment was wrong, do not say discernment and wrong in the same sentence. Because if there was discernment, it would never be wrong. That means your feeling was wrong, your emotion was wrong. So we start to feel stuff, and we think that feelings are discernment. That has nothing to do with one another. Because discernment, if
Amen.
Discernment can point out other people, discernment can also point you out to yourself.
Yes.
That's true.
Everybody quiet, right?
Yes.
True discernment. y'all listen to me. True discernment being from God. Remember, the Bible says that judgment starts at the house of God. When we manage our emotions, we'll stop trying to judge them, and we'll start judging ourselves first. So discernment, we will use it and make it applicable towards us before we make it outward towards anything else. Y'all follow me? Remember,
yes,
the Bible says before you remove the speck, the small piece from their eyes, remove the plank from your own. In other words, true discernment says that I will judge me. I will look at my errors. I will look at everything that I'm not and everything that I should be first. Don't use it. See, we pray for discernment. In other words, we want emotional uplift, so
so that we can actually start pointing other people out and saying what they're not, and they're false, and they're real, and they're really not so real. They're not the ones that you should be. See, we want to use that for that emotional escapade. But when we start getting back deeply rooted in God, you'll calm down, and you'll see that discernment is something that you pray for that a lot of times you really don't want. Because when you can discern things, God will let your every thought start manifesting. Now, you got to be careful how you think, because discernment will start, boy, look, the stuff that you start to think, it'll start coming to pass. Y'all don't hear me.
Indeed. Indeed.
If you truly got discernment, you'll start seeing some stuff that you very well may not want to see. You know how some people don't like the trauma unit at the hospital? You'll start to see some stuff that you don't want to see, and you'll probably start to see it at home, meaning in yourself first. You might see it with your mom or your daddy. And see, that's the kind of stuff we really don't want to know about the ones that we love, because we want that emotional discernment that says, I want to know about the people that I can't stand across there, across the street. But what about the ones at home?
Right.
Uh-oh. Oh, it gets real. Managing our emotions, getting to the root of me. Ain't that something? Let's get to it, Mr. DJ. The next email question, Ms. Candy has an email question. The question says, I have allowed my insecurities, okay, to become between me and my husband. He keeps trying to reach out for me, but I don't know how to get past how I feel. Please help me save my marriage. Somebody out there marriage on Facebook?
Yeah.
Somebody married? Somebody can tell us about this? Somebody know about this? Can y'all tell us? Come on. The question, the email question, listen to the question. I have allowed my insecurities to come between my husband and I. He keeps trying to reach out to me, but I don't know how to get past how I feel. Please help me save my marriage. Mr. DJ, what you got?
There are a lot of factors going on in that. I mean, for one, please look towards God. And that's easier said, you know, if you're not in that situation, but that's the first thing to do, is look towards God. If this man is reaching out to you about what you're insecure about, then you need to check your emotions at the door. I mean, if he's still with you, he's with you for a reason. Now, on the other hand, did he cause the insecurity? You know, if he caused the insecurity, then that's a problem. But even at that, you know, if that's your husband and you're truly walking with God, that's your husband, and he's there for you. He's not leaving you. He's reaching out with his hand. All you got to do is take it and walk with him.
Mm.
I mean, you know, don't keep your eyes and your hands off God, but I'm just saying, you know, if he's there and that's your husband, he's supporting you. So, you know, you need to work through that. You need to get to the root of what's causing the insecurity and destroy it. You all supposed to be walking in agreement with each other. Destroy
okay.
the yokes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's going on, Ms. Rashawn? I see you. I see you. All right. So y'all got the email question. Y'all talk to me, Facebook Live. I have allowed my insecurities. This is the question that came. I have allowed my insecurities to come between my husband and I. He keeps trying to reach out to me or reach out for me, but I don't know how to get past how I feel. Please help me save my marriage.
Mr. Carr, it sounds like that insecurity has nothing to do with the husband. It's all her. She needs to deny herself. It seems like she's more hard, you know, on herself. Oftentimes, you got people that may have a weight issue or feel a certain way, and they don't like wearing certain things or going certain places. But if you got a supportive husband, say, hey, I'll go with you. You know, let's do this together. You know?
Okay. Hold on. I got
Miss.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ms. Dontra Anderson, she said, first work on yourself, align mm-hmm. yourself with the word of God and what it says about marriage. All right, Ms. Anderson. Ms. Tanette, what you got? What you got, Ms. Tanette? Ms. Tanette said, I am not married, but in a previous relationship, I've allowed insecurities to step in. But until you get past, hold on, somebody typing, I'm trying to, I've allowed insecurities to step in. But until you get past that within yourself, it will be a struggle. Seek marriage counseling, hold on, to get to the root of that insecurity. All right. All right. Y'all got it?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me get my list spiel. Y'all know how to get my list spiel, right? Okay. Ms. Kenya, I see you. As you say, you have allowed my fear and anxiety to overcome me. I needed to hear this tonight. Thank you. No, thank you, Ms. King. You're the blessing. Okay? So what was that question? I have allowed my insecurities to come between my husband and I. He keeps trying to reach out for me, but I don't know how to get past how I feel. Please help me to save my marriage. I'm not a marriage counselor, but let me tell you the word of God. Come on. Managing emotions. Y'all, for 1 second, can y'all think about this Facebook Live? Follow me for a second. Follow me for a second. Follow me. I have allowed my insecurities to come between my husband and I. Let's just say, for instance, because this is reality, our husband is God. Both men and women, we are God's bride. So I have allowed my insecurities to become between my husband. I have allowed my insecurities to come between God and I. God keeps trying to reach out for me, but I don't know how to get past how I feel. Somebody help me to save my salvation. Well, here's the thing. You can't be emotional and serve God at the same time. Because if we're emotional, we're not going to serve God when God wants to be served. And God wants to be served all the time. The Bible says, the greatest amongst you are those who serve. We cannot serve God in an emotional state because Satan will put us in an emotional frenzy. In other words, we'll be a Christian on Sunday, but Monday through Friday, not so much Saturday, we're jucking and jiving, and Sunday we get back around to it. In other words, we start living a life of hypocrisy. In other words, we don't want to say that we're a false prophet, but we live in false prophetic things that we say because we say, won't God do it on Monday and on Sunday, but Monday morning we're waking up in somebody's bed that's not ours, but we want our marriage to work with God, but we say that we just emotional creatures, Mr. Carr. You should understand. Shouldn't understand nothing. Tell it to God. See, if you want the marriage to work between God and yourself or God and us, here's how it works. See, God had to overlook what we have done. In other words, he said he's married to the backslider. I don't know about anybody out there dealing with marriage, but you know if somebody cheated on you once, twice, or thrice, three times, you know that's a done deal. Some of us, we give them a one-time limit. So, see, when God deals with us in a marriage, he's married to us, and we've stepped out on him more than anybody has ever stepped out on us. So if the husband is not emotional, why are we?
Okay.
If you want the marriage to work, we cannot let the flesh dictate, how faithful we will be. Because what will happen is we'll be in an emotional frenzy. Y'all understand? You have to deal with the root of who you are. In other words, the Bible says before you take up your cross and follow me, you must first do what?
Deny yourself.
Ooh, that's some strong words. That's some strong words, people. That's some good teaching, right? Look at what Jesus said. Before you follow me, because, you know, we say, you know, you the head, and I'm going to follow you. Woo, that's some good teaching. So if God be our head and we married to God, we got to manage our emotions because emotions want you to put yourself first. Emotions want you to put yourself first. Emotions always want you to put yourself first. Why you think the truck, why you think the president of the United States of America, he's tapping into people's emotional psyche?
Come on.
In other words, think of you before you think of them. That's why he said, make America great again. But if I'm not mistaken, and I said it in his own record, if I'm not mistaken, God is the creator of heaven and earth. Who said that America was greater than any other country? Whoever thinks that is a lie. Because that's to say, when we say America is greater than any other country, we're suggesting that they are beneath us. And nobody is beneath nobody else. But your emotions will have you thinking that way. Because if they are beneath you, well, then why did God create them?
I'm going to
wait on that answer. If you want the marriage to work between your husband and yourself, you must first start to address who you are and what you have done. In other words, get out of your own way. You know that our biggest enemy is ourselves.
That's right.
Yes, indeed.
Y'all knew that? Y'all know that we are our biggest enemy.
That's right.
Ain't it something? I love it too, Miss Anitra. Y'all see it. Miss Kimberly, I see y'all there. Y'all, this is real. We have to manage our emotions. If we want the relationship to work between us and God, we got to manage our emotions. If we want the relationship to work between us and people, we have to manage our emotions. You feeling some kind of way, but what if they feeling some type of way tomorrow, and tomorrow you on a good page? See, we expect people to bow down to how we feel, about how they feel. If the both of you take emotions out the equation and just be obedient to God, the marriage can be A-okay. How about that?
Amen.
Because if God was ever emotional, trust me, we wouldn't be his bride. Because we done too much wrong. As a matter of fact, he still offered to marry us, even though he knew how we would live. Now, you tell me that's an emotionless God, because flesh can't rule God, because God is a spirit. So flesh can't come in that way. So the only way Satan tries to hate on God is through us, the very things that God loves.
Come on.
Y'all see it? But God is not emotional. Because if he was emotional, the sin that we committed when we were 3, 4, 5 years old, when we said the age of innocence, he'd have destroyed us back then. God, we some of us 40, 50 years old. I mean, y'all see me, I'm about 26. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't hate on that now. Somebody talking about no, he ain't the devil a lie. But y'all see what I'm saying? God, emotional, Mr. DJ. So the marriage stays intact. Emotion doesn't cause God to say, away with you. I want to have nothing to do with you. He doesn't do that.
That's
manage
right.
Those people. We have them, but we got to manage them. Okay? Okay.
Yeah,
Tiana, you had a question? Somebody laughing at the fact that I say I'm 20. Now, I know this is beer to call. We ain't going to be lying. Hey, come on. What you got, Miss Tiana?
Actually, before we go to our question, we've had a caller who's been waiting patiently on the line.
Let's get Mr. DJ,
sure.
You're going to take this question, okay?
Okay.
Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question this evening.
Good evening. The question that I have is, as a parent in today's society, how do I effectively teach my children in a way that they can understand how to manage their emotions?
Can you repeat that one more time? Repeat it one more time, because I want Facebook Live to hear you. Say that one more time, please.
Yes, sir. As a parent in today's society, how do I effectively teach my children in a way that they can understand how to manage their emotions?
Okay. Mr. DJ, what you got to say to that?
First of all, you mustn't buy into the ways of the world. Second, you must know how, show how. Don't just tell your kids what to do. Be a living example of what to do and how to handle those emotions. When you're driving, are you cussing people out? Are you going off on a child's teacher? Are you just, you know, pretty much having a fit and having a fit of rage and your child is seeing that? You have to know how, show how. Be a living example of what you're supposed to do and live according to the word. And don't do that at, you know, 15, 16, 17. You got to do that from day one, from the beginning. That child is watching you, okay? So you must teach that child the ways of a Christian, and you must live those ways as well, not just talk to them about it. Don't send them to church, bring them to church. In other words, worship with them, wherever that is, okay? So that's basically it in a nutshell, to start from the beginning at an early age, but be a living example. Don't tell your child to do as I say, not as I do. Them days been over with. I don't know about y'all. I had grandparents that used to do that all the time. You know, you couldn't say nothing back. You couldn't do none of that. No, them days over with.
Okay. So here's the thing. Let me repeat that question for Facebook Live. Okay. As a parent, how do I effectively teach my children so they know how to handle their emotions? Ms. Kimberly Neal, can you help me with that? Ms. Katina, help me. What we got, Ms. Tanette? Ms. Anitra, y'all help me out. Ms. Tamara, what we got? Ms. King, you still there? Help me out with that one. As a parent, how do I effectively teach my children so they know how to handle their emotions? Pretty good.
Also, Mr. Carr, you can watch who you have your kids around. We often tell our kids, don't fraternize with that person. You can't be friends with that. But look at some of our friends.
That's right. Y'all, one of the biggest things as a parent, how we teach our children how to manage their emotions, is through the consistency of our obedience to God. Point blank period. Point blank period. Miss Tiana says, show them through his word. Show them through us. Consistency. Mm-hmm. Y'all believe that? Because here's the thing. The child is always looking for the easy way out. Y'all know that. Because we was children at one point in time. We was looking for the weaker of the two parents. We were looking for the weaker of the... We wanted the emotional parent. When we wanted what we wanted the emotional parent. In other words, all we had to do is say, Mama, you know that ain't right. My sister got more than me. You know we wanted the emotional parent. Hmm? Miss Dontra, she says, Miss Dontra, am I saying that right? Dontra, come on. It's D-W-A-N-T-A. I'm just going to say Miss D. Miss D-A. How about that? Okay? Yeah. If they're going to go wrong, stop. Okay, I got you. Reteach them, all right? Miss Anitra said, I definitely agree with leading by example, but I'm still working on that one myself. Okay. Keep working on it. Miss Dontra, don't, you know. There's some names in the book of the Bible we don't know how to pronounce, but we just say Jesus' name. Working on it. I give everybody a nickname. So yours is D.A., okay? Miss Kimberly says, I'm not a parent, but I certainly believe that we have to always get instruction from the living word in everything that we say and do. I agree with you, Miss Kimberly. Okay? So, consistency would be key to teaching our children. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Consistency to what? Consistency in the word of God. Here's the thing. Every day we wake up in a state of emotional surroundings. In other words, some people say they're not a morning person. Just because we're not morning people don't mean that you show demonic ways. I'm sorry.
Right.
Hello, somebody. Is it ever okay? Let me piggyback off. Is it ever okay for you to be not a morning person, huh, but still show rude emotions towards somebody in the morning? Can somebody help me out?
No.
No.
Now, don't be talking about no on this phone, and you be the main one talking about, don't mess with me tomorrow.
It's just wrong.
They're still making it wrong. I used to be that guy, Mr.
Mr. DJ, look, somebody, didn't that man say that on Minister Society? Don't come to my house before 1 o'clock. 3
That's
o'clock.
That's right. Don't come around here. That's right.
Ms. Tanette. Ms. Tanette said, as a parent, how can I effectively teach my child to adequately manage their emotions? This is a good question. Consistency is definitely a key. I'm there to talk to him daily about everything. I want him to feel comfortable enough to talk to me about any emotional issues he may have. That's absolutely correct. And I agree with that too, Ms. Tanette, because you want your child to express their emotions to you, just like God said, express our emotions to him. Because God is going to give us, okay, retrospectively, the answers how to address that emotion. You don't think that God knows that fear sets in? You don't think that God has...
Come on.
So as a parent, yes, consistency is key, and I thank you for that, Ms. Tanette, but we also want our kids to be open with us, because if they're not open with us, they're going to be open with someone. And it very well may not be someone listening. They're just going to show them emotion. Because in other words, we'll say, hush and just watch me. Lead by example, but you also want them to talk to you. See, parenthood is best demonstrated between us and God. We're his children. He's our parent. He wants us to be open with him. So allow your child to be open with you. God is consistent, but he also wants us to be open and be open about our emotions. That means, God, right now I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling somber. Right now, God, I'm feeling like I'm the best thing since sliced bread, God. I feel like I'm so good, God, that I don't need you no more. God wants us to be open with him so he can say, sit your little behind down. Calm down, because without me, you wouldn't have it. Now, I know you say it.
Amen.
Make me prove it. I'll take it all away. See? And that makes us calm down.
Amen.
It does.
That's right. So as a parent, allow them kids to be open, but you have to be open with God enough to where you allow God to use you through something called consistency. We have to be consistent with our behaviors because our behaviors can affect their emotions. In other words, boy, I'm going to go to this topic real quick. I ain't going to stay that long because we talked about this, and I know y'all want to go there. But even when it comes to co-parenting, just because you and the father or you and the mother are not together, you have to put your emotions to the wayside because your emotions towards that other parent could cause that child or children to despise that other person who's not there. Come to me. Come to me, emotions down. Y'all hear me? I understand what they did, but understand this. When we manage our emotions, that child will appreciate you in the long run much greater because we are children now, and everybody loves their parent for not talking about the other one.
So true.
Oh, Lord.
So
oh,
true.
Lord. That other parent could have did something horribly wrong, but when you manage them emotions, help them kids to manage theirs. In other words, if you're not disrespecting the other parent, that child won't because you won't allow them. Ain't that something?
That's right.
Okay. Ms. Dina said, I was having issues with consistency with my daughter. Then we started opening our Bible together. That's right. Open them Bibles together. Okay. Ms. D.A. said, teach your children the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, etc. Okay. So it's love, joy, peace, and et cetera, y'all. What is that et cetera, Ms. D.A.? Would you write Ms. D.A.? Ms. Mildness, long-suffering.
Yes.
To say it and to always do what is right, even when it's not convenient. I agree with that, Ms. Kimberly. Always do what's right, even when it's not convenient. Ain't that something? All right. What we got? We got another question. I'm going to get to Ms. Latonya's question, y'all. How much time we have? Okay, we got a little bit more time. Okay. Thank you. I say, Ms. Tanette said thank you. I say that all the time when it comes to co-parenting. That's correct. Okay. All right, y'all on it tonight. Let me ask a question. I'm going to throw out there to Facebook Live. Let me ask y'all a question. How, when we talk about managing emotions, getting to the root of me, getting to the root of us, how do we express our emotions toward God? Y'all answer that for me. How do we express our emotions toward God? Now, don't give me that simple answer. I know we got some, you know, some holy people out there, and they're going to say, I praise them. Don't give me that one. Give me some, how do you express emotions toward God other than praise?
Like spoiled children.
Miss Candy, look, Mr. DJ, Miss Candy said the same thing you said. She said we throw tantrums.
Yep, like spoiled children.
Come on, y'all, Facebook Live. How do we express our emotions toward God? Where we at, Miss Kenya? They will really help you tonight, all right?
On the other side of being spoiled children, we also are grateful. We thank them a lot, full of joy. But
we don't do it
as often as we should.
Mr. DJ, Ms. Kimberly keeping it real tonight. Ms. Kimberly say, oh, wow, I talk to God like a spoiled child. She keeping it real, Mr. DJ.
Sir, we pray real hard when we need some or something wrong. Oh, boy. We get it in. We become a bishop. We get down there. And the time is of no essence, but let it be something. Everything going good. You say your grace and running while you eat. Shoot, everything goes so quick then, you know, you have talk to them. Everything
okay.
Going good.
Ms. Tanette, I see you. Let me give you a high five. I like y'all. Y'all on it tonight. Ms. Tanette said, I express my emotions through prayer and worship. I express my emotions in the things I do on a daily basis. I see. Ms. Katina said, she cried. Ms. Carla said, Ms. Candy said, she talks to others about what we deserve when he doesn't give us what we want. Okay. Ms. Dina. Mm-hmm. Ms. Dina and Ms. Gina say crowd. Okay. Ms. King crowd. All right. Ms. Monique said actions. Ms. Tanette said by letting him know how grateful I am for his goodness. I like those, y'all. All right. Ms. Latonya, what you say? We are always asking God for something instead of being grateful for what he has already, what we already have.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
I like Miss Kimberly's, Mr. Carr.
Uh-huh.
Miss Kimberly trying to get him to change his mind about what we want.
That's right.
The DA say obedience to God's word. We follow, but we confess and move forward. So how do we express our emotions towards God? One way that we should express our emotions toward God is literally through obedience. Woo! I had to fall back on that one, y'all. Through obedience. The Bible says, if you love me, because some of us think that L-O-V-E is an emotion, and I keep telling us L-O-V-E is not emotion because the Bible says if a man knoweth not love, he knoweth not God. If he knoweth not God, he knoweth not love. God is not an emotion. Please, y'all, for the sake of clarity, for the sake of maturation, please stop calling love an emotion. The reason why love is not emotion, love in its purest form, you shouldn't have to say, that's my true friend, and that's my friend. If your friend ain't true, don't call him a friend. If love is not, don't call it love. Call it what it is. Call it lust. But you don't have to say true love. See, true love does not expire. Hmm? I know we had that debate talking about when does sour cream go sour. True love never expires. So, see, here's the thing. If you truly love something or someone, it doesn't or is not predicated on the fact of what they do. You love them in spite of. See, true love has nothing to do with what they do. It's how y'all two are connected. In other words, God loves those dingy us, and it's not based on what we do. He got on the cross knowing what we would do. That's something.
That's right.
It is.
How we express our emotions toward God is through love. How do we express love toward love is through obedience. The Bible says, you know, if you don't love me, if you cannot keep my commands, you cannot love God. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you can't keep my commandments, you don't love me. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. How do you express love towards God? Well, that's the spiritual emotion, but the spiritual emotion has nothing to do with the flesh. That means when it's not flesh-driven, it's nothing to do with what your flesh does. So that means it's spiritually driven. And when it's spiritually driven, that means I obey God. This is how I express my emotions towards him. I don't have to yell out, I'm highly favored and I'm blessed. I don't have to do that. Jesus never said he was highly favored and he was blessed. He just lived the life of being highly favored and being blessed because the best emotion that you can ever express towards God is one of humility. How about that?
That's right. That's right.
Hello, somebody. What emotion could be better to express towards God other than humility? Humility says, God, you drive, I won't. Humility says, God, you go, and I'll follow. Humility says, I'm not going to think. I'm going to wait on you to tell me. Ooh, y'all, this is real, huh? Manage our emotions.
Yeah.
Emotions will tell us to do the polar opposite. Our emotions says, no, God, I'm going to do it, and then I'm going to ask for forgiveness later. You know, Mr. DJ, we never ask for permission. You know how we do it. That's how emotions talking and acting up.
Ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Come on. Isn't humility the total opposite of denying
right.
yourself? Pride? That's right.
That sure is.
That's right. Ms. D.A. said love covers a multitude of faults. That is correct. Okay. Y'all got it? I see Ms. Toya.
Yes, sir.
Hey, Ms. Toya. Me and Ms. Toya had a little phone conversation. That's my girl. All right. Y'all got it? So I'm going to throw another question out there for everybody, okay? Facebook Live. I got another question. What we got? Okay. How can you? All right, look, y'all, that's it.
Come on. Come on.
My father out there, Daryl Rowan. On the night. Now, don't y'all do nothing bad in, you know, out there in Clinton area. Be police.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, over there in prison. So here's my other question for Facebook Live. How can you tell if emotions are from God or from the flesh? Y'all heard me? Let's get
it. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
That's a good question. That's for Facebook Live. How can you tell if emotions are from God or if they are from the flesh? Y'all, the topic is managing our emotions, getting to the root of me. How can we tell if our emotions are from God or if those emotions are from the flesh? Can y'all help me with that one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Ms. Katina said, where it's directed. Mr. DJ, what you got to say?
Most pleasure of the flesh are emotions coming from the flesh. If it's pleasing to you, if it's pleasing directly to you, then those are coming of the flesh. If it's of God, then it's through obedience and discipline. Sometimes it might be something favorable, sometimes it may not be favorable, but it will definitely be in accordance to the word and pleasing to him, to God.
Okay.
Just about all the time, if it's pleasing to you, then it's coming from the flesh.
Okay. So my father, Darryl Roy and my father, he says, when they are not selfish, I totally agree. When they're not selfish. Ms. Monique, she says, when they are pure. I see you, Ms. Monique. I agree with that. When they are pure.
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of Facebook Live, and talk to me now. How can we tell if emotions are from God or if those emotions are from the flesh? Y'all, this is good.
He tells us the anger of a sin not. And that's why I love the scripture, James 1 and 20, which says human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So even though he tells us to go ahead and show that anger, he tells us not to sin. And if we put it on ourselves as what we want, then that's when we're sinning. So when it's for us.
God's way is not navigated by us. I mean, when
it's not navigated by us, okay.
Right, God's way is not navigated by us at all. He laughs at our way. The way we drive, oh, Lord. You know, we might think we know what we want. Those are of the flesh. But,
okay.
You know, God's way is definitely not navigated by us.
All right, Ms. Toya said, through the abundance of the heart. Okay, Ms. D.A. said, anything outside of God's word is flesh. All right. Ms. Candy said, you won't know unless you have an established relationship. You might guess and get it right, but if you don't know him, you're not going to be able to clearly tell. All right. Let's see what my father said. He says, it is not how I feel. It's about how God feels. My ways are not like your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. Absolutely.
Amen.
Woo! How can you tell if those emotions of yours, Ms. Katina, talk to me. How can we tell? Ms. Tamara, Ms. Dina, how can we tell if those emotions, Ms. Kimberly, I agree with Ken, okay? How can we tell if those emotions are from God or from the flesh? Okay, prime example. This is good, y'all. How you know if those emotions that you have, do they seek revenge? Do they bring about bitterness? What about strife, envy? Do they bring about hate? Do they bring about discord? Ooh, you know when God sends, the Bible said all good things come from the, see when God sends something our way, even emotions, it will build up the kingdom of heaven, not tear it down. In other words, it will build up the kingdom of heaven through you. The emotions that stem from the flesh is stemming to tear or pull or steal the God that's in you out of you. Now, Satan can't take God out of you, but he can give the illusion through emotion. We get so emotionally spent to where we say, God, don't hit me because I'm a sinner. See, that's that emotion that comes from the flesh. You don't think God hit you? You don't think that God knew you was going to sin? Hello? You don't think that? See, we get beside ourselves, and we start judging. You know how we say, well, you can't judge me, and then we quote Tupac talking about that in the Bible. The Bible said only no man can judge. What? Pray for us, Lord. Yeah, what they be doing that? Pray for us, God. Listen.
Hey, Rock, I ain't no killer, but don't push me.
Start quoting scripture. And don't just quote the scripture. Make sure you understand the scripture. I see my boy Cleo out there. Okay? Here's the thing. Here's the reality of it. When it comes from the flesh, it is meant. When that emotion stems from, it is meant to tear you down. But the Bible says what the devil meant for good, what the devil meant for evil, God meant for good. So although you had that strife in your eyes, use it for your good. In other words, see, that emotion that was sent to tear the relationship apart, I'm going to use it as a catapult to build and make us stronger. In other words, I can come to you and say, Pops, man, at one time, Pops, you know, I had a problem with how you was treating me. But, Pops, you know what? I thank God for that because it established in me a better man, you know, to be a better man, not than you, but by, you know, your example. In other words, that treatment I mistaken as something that's harsh, but now that I'm older, Pops, I understand why you did it. I don't think y'all hear me. Our emotions will have us turning our backs on the ones that are trying to help us because we will look at it as they're being harsh to us when actually trying to help us. Don't you know this is why a lot of times people run away from those who try and love on them? You remember iron sharpens iron? Emotions will say you're being too hard on me. You're trying to push me away. Emotions say your expectations of me are too lofty, too high. That's the flesh emotions. But the spiritual emotions say, I thank you for loving me enough to correct me. I thank you for loving me enough to stay on top of me. I thank you because spiritually I understand where it comes from. This is why the Bible says, in all thy getting, get an understanding. That means when emotions knock at my door, before you come in, emotion, I understand who you are. So I know when to tell you to come in or to leave. And if you don't want to leave, I got something for you. It's called a door slam. You're not coming in here. Huh? How can you tell if emotions are from God or from the flesh? Who's benefiting, you or heaven? Who's benefiting from how you're about to act, you or heaven? Now, let me flip this around, Ms. Tiana, Mr. DJ. See, a lot of times, we also give when God say don't give. I'm going to tell on it. Yeah, I'm going to tell.
Come on.
I'm
going to
tell someone. Because we think that emotions, derogatory emotions, are just always negative and taken down. But emotions are also from the flesh when we give what we shouldn't be giving. You know, when we give somebody something that they don't deserve because they have yet to see God. You know how we do with our children. Hello. Oh, let me take the kids out of the equation. You know how we do to ourselves. Our birthday, 8 months from now, I'm talking about I'm giving myself an early treat. Emotional spenders. When we see the homeless people on a street corner, we'll give to a homeless person out of emotional, flesh-driven things because we want to cleanse our spirit, man, by doing deeds towards, y'all better hit me, towards, you know, that we think God looking at, right? So we think that it's our deeds that save us. So we'll give to the homeless person on the street corner and say, I'm a good man and I'm a good woman, but you won't even give to somebody in your own household because you say, and they don't deserve that in your household, but what you think, oh, how much do you know the homeless person to know what they deserve? See, that's your emotions talking.
Come on.
A lot of times we even walk in, you done gave $300. Talking about because pastor said I'm going to be blessed. That music got you. What pastor was teaching and preaching on got you. I'm not knocking pastor. Trust me, I'm not. But what I'm saying is we are driven by emotional experiences, and this is when we start giving more than what we're supposed to. God didn't tell you to give. Now all of a sudden you over there just like that with no lights on. Talking about, what about that? No. Then you want to say, I got candles, and I've been waiting to burn them. No, God didn't want you to burn them candles. You burned them candles because you did an emotional, irresponsible thing. God didn't tell you to sow a $500 seed. You did that on your own.
Come on.
Hello, somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Not knocking the church, no, because we are the church. I'm not. But what I'm saying is emotions go both ways. You can give too much, and then you cannot give enough or nothing at all. Don't do it. How you know it comes from God? Because it will please him and not you. It will please him and not the people around you. Lord have mercy.
Yes.
Come on, y'all. Y'all know this truth, right? We got to manage those emotions. We got to manage those emotions, people. Because y'all know we do a lot of things for show. The only reason why we a lot of times get up and pay our tithes around the church is because we want them to see what we got on. We want to flex a little bit, right, fellas? Women, y'all know we wore that Sunday dress, and we want everybody to see it. So we don't even be having that in that envelope. We just fold it up with that dollar. Talking about everybody who got tired, stand up. Come on to the... Y'all know that's an emotional experience, right? Because, see, those who don't have money feel bad that they can't put nothing in there. So you know what people start doing, Mr. DJ? They'll take the envelope and put an empty envelope in there just because emotionally they don't want to be embarrassed. Man, come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
When we going to get real? When we going to get real? For real now? When we going to get real? So we let emotions even drive the church service. We can't do that, people. We let emotions dictate how we believe in God. If pastor over there sinned and pastor over there was whoremongering, all of a sudden we said, see, that's why I don't believe in them churches. Baby, you should believe in churches regardless of who God put here to run them. Because, see, if you was the pastor, I mean, obviously you the parent, right? And you the pastor of your household, whether you realize that or not. Have you ever slipped up? Have you done things that people don't know about? So should your children follow you? You pastor, you? Your pastor ain't even realize it, huh?
Amen.
Tell it.
Hello. See, regardless of how somebody else do towards God, that don't mean I'm going to stop going because I went for God, not him. But emotions have us connected to the leader and not who the leader's talking about. See, that's emotion. So how you know if your emotions come from God or the flesh? Who's benefiting? Heaven or you? Hello, somebody. Because as a spiritual leader, I would pay your tithes when God tell you to pay your tithes, not when I tell you. Because, see, that's between you and God. So whether you pay them or not, I'm still obligated to love on you, and I'm going to do that regardless. But Pop say, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and those that are called according to his purpose. We go through things for God's purpose. When we surrender our emotions to God, he causes the fruit of the Spirit to work in us. That's right. Ms. LaTanya said 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what is okay beside in the heart. Miss LaTanya, she's talking about tithing off tonight. I ain't mean to go there. We're talking about emotions, Miss LaTanya. All right? All right, we got any more email questions out there?
We have one more here. Basically asking, sorry, sir. Over the years, I've transitioned from being an extrovert to an introvert. In my downtime, I've come to appreciate quiet time alone and retreat heavily on the weekends. Is this me being selfish?
Yeah, I know good and well. Okay. Hold on. My partner say read his. Let me read his. Look, you put it at the bottom, read mine, Cleo. All right. Emotions cause divorce. People react based on their emotions. I don't feel love anymore. That's an emotion. I agree with you, too, Cleo. Emotions cause divorce. Y'all know that?
Okay.
Now, somebody going to say, you know, actions cause divorce. Well, it was emotions. Before the action could happen, something made somebody do something, right? And it paralyzed the good thinking spiritual side and his other side.
That's right.
Yeah. See, that emotion of that man smelling good, major. That emotion of that woman twisted, major. See, emotions, boy. You gotta manage them emotions. So before the divorce, emotions. So I agree with you, Cleo. Emotions cause divorce. People react based on their emotions. I don't feel love anymore. That's an emotion. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
I think the same emotion caused us to get married early, too.
DJ, we'll be on the mess with you. Yes. Emotions cause us to get married prematurely. Something that God did not ordain.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of times we got to say, you know, I ask any married couple before you get divorced, something's going wrong before we get a divorce. Only two things happen. Either we're disobeying God or we got married, you know, and we lied on God. Disobeying God because God said, well, God put together, let no man put asunder, meaning separate. Or we got married and God didn't ordain it because he don't make no mistakes. But that's a whole other topic. But our emotions actually make us walk on or march on or hop on down that aisle. Full of smiles, right? Miss Tiana, what was that question, please?
I've transitioned from being an extrovert to an introvert. And when the weekends come, I heavily retreat on the inside. Is that me being selfish?
Now, y'all, let me tell you about these questions. This extrovert, introvert, y'all know exactly where that come from, huh, Mr. DJ?
Yeah.
Who posed that question, Mr. DJ?
A female.
or someone emotional. Let me say it like that.
Mr. DJ, that came from Tiana. Mr. DJ, that's straight Tiana talking. Listen to that question again. I know what introvert and extrovert is. Miss Tiana, please explain.
Let me pull up the definitions because this was a question that I received. So introvert is a shy person, concerned with thoughts and feelings. An extrovert is someone who's outgoing.
Who's out
you have party. People thinking that they need to go to Walgreens and talk about, Doc, you can prescribe me some medication to get rid of this?
Extrovert, socializer.
The answer is no. That's not you being selfish at all. Sometimes it's called maturity.
Okay. So, Ms. Tiana, what was that?
I said, over time, I've converted from being an extrovert to an introvert. I've seen this transition. And on weekends, I retreat and love to be in a quiet place, basically. Is that me being selfish?
You get converted, then you retreat.
Retreat. So I've realized, so as an introvert, now I'm an introvert. I'm realizing that I'm staying inside a quiet place. That's where I retreat. I'm no longer going out and doing the extrovert thing. Is that me being selfish?
Sometimes people need a sabbatical, meaning a getaway, needed to be that alone time with God, you know, like your prayer closet. There's nothing wrong with that. But there again, if you go to the previous question, does that emotion come from God? In other words, does it benefit the kingdom of heaven that you need that quiet time? See, sometimes people talk about, you know, I just want to be alone because people, you know, why do you want to be alone? Because of people or because of God? Answer that question first. Because, see, when we want to be alone because of what people have done and they've hurt us and we don't want to be hurt anymore and I can't trust them, I have nobody to talk to. See, that's your emotions talking from the flesh. But when you want to be alone because God says so, that means everything in your life can be going great and God still pull you away and you're obedient and you'll do that.
Amen.
And also, Ms. Tiana, who are you being selfish towards? If it's just you anyway, who I'm saying, like, so are you pleasing yourself? You saying God? Or I'm talking about whoever authored that question. You know, you said, are you being selfish? Selfish towards whom? You know, are you married and saying that you're being an introvert? Or is it just you? So who are you being selfish towards? Who are you worried about? That's what a question I'm asking.
Great question.
You know, Miss Tiana posed that question. Don't be talking about it if it came from somebody else. All right, y'all.
I can't answer his question.
Y'all, that's what we're going to do for tonight. We don't have any more email questions.
No, sir. We're good.
Let me ask one more email question for everybody. A question. All Facebook Live, because we out there, okay? Pop still out there. Listen, check this out. How reliable are your emotions? How reliable are your emotions?
Mm.
The topic for tonight is managing emotions, getting to the root of me. How reliable are your emotions? Miss Kathy, how you doing? I miss you, Miss Kathy. Miss Kathy didn't know when Miss Kathy, we get on every Monday. Okay? At what time we get on? It's 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. That's EST. All right, Cleo. Cleo said we can't rely on emotions. Come on, Facebook. Ms. Kimberly, I see you. How reliable are our emotions? Come on, where everybody at? Where Ms. Sharon at? Ms. Sharon, I hadn't heard from you. Ms. Latonya, Ms. Rhonda. How reliable are those emotions? Ms. Tanette, Ms. Katina, where we at? Ms. Kathy, you been working? I understand. Just missing you on here. Very unreliable, said Miss Katina. Miss Kimberly said not. They're not reliable, okay? What y'all got? Miss Tiana said they're unreliable. How reliable are our emotions?
It's kind of rhetorical, Mr. Carl.
Okay, explain.
It's like asking how good are your lies? I mean, you know, I mean, they're not reliable at all, you know? Like,
hey.
Yeah, they're you know, it starts at home. You got to deny yourself.
So, and I agree with y'all, okay? I agree with everybody out there. But for a second, let me play devil's advocate, okay? Managing emotions. Let me play devil's advocate. This is not my thought pattern, but let me take on the pattern of somebody who may, okay? People will say, but sometimes you just have to go, rely on your gut feeling. You mean if a person burned you once, shame on them. But if you burn me twice, shame on me. See, so don't tell me that my emotions are unreliable, because that's all I got to hold on to. When people show you who they are, what should we do?
You should look to the Lord, because
don't give me that natural after y'all spiritual folks. Y'all know when people show you who they are, what should we do? We should do what? Believe them. That's what we say. Mm-hmm. Now I'm playing the devil's advocate. Let me turn my head backwards so y'all don't think that's what I really feel. I'm turning my head backwards, okay.
I would have to say to them, Mr. Carr, I'm not of the world anymore. So the pain that you feel, I don't feel. That doesn't bother me anymore. Why don't you come over to my side? My side will take that pain away from you, too, if you turn towards God.
So, Mr. Bree said, though, my emotions are not reliable. All right? So if emotions are not reliable, why then did God give us feelings? I'm playing devil's advocate.
Feelings can go up and down, but it's how you use them to determine your action that determine where you're going.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Y'all got it?
You lead yourself. You're going to go into a dead end every time if you're leading yourself. Like I said, we don't know how to drive at all. You let God navigate your life, then you get where you're supposed to go.
That's right. The Bible says a righteous man falls several times to get up. In other words, a righteous man rests several times but gets up. In other words, a righteous man, see, in order for us to fall, meaning we had to do something emotional that God did not approve of. What Pastor Darrell said, emotions are of the old man. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil wiles of the devil. That's correct.
Amen.
What he desires for us to do, okay, to learn. All right. So y'all get it? So emotions are very unreliable. Here's the thing. When are we going to stop taking the, when are we going to start getting our information from unreliable sources? Because y'all know we had a problem with that. All of us need to be delivered from that. Because when we get delivered from self, we are good to go. You know what self says? Self says pride. You know what pride stems from? Pride is the derivative of all those emotions that run through our head. You know, when we say, man, I knew it was something about Tellius. I knew it was something about Daryl. I knew it was something about Tiana and Mr. DJ. I just knew it. See, stop them lies. You ain't know nothing. You said that after the fact. Say it up front. So when your lie come back to you and sit on your front doorstep, you can go ahead and eat that lie. But see, you don't say that out loud because you very well might be wrong. And you know that emotion is unreliable. So you just say it after the fact. You understand? And then if you guess and get it right, that's still an emotion from the flesh, because the Bible says lifting one another up. So I don't let my emotions dictate to me how I'm going to treat you, because my Bible says be careful how you entertain a stranger. So instead of telling somebody you don't know me, you don't know them. It's really what's being presented. You don't know me to tell me nothing. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:2, be careful how you entertain a stranger, because you never know when you're entertaining an angel. But our emotions don't let absorb the word of God, and we start absorbing the things in the world and don't even know where they come from. We get unreliable sources at facts called our emotions. Cut that out.
Amen.
Cut that out. Y'all, let's go ahead and pray. Y'all ready? Mr. DJ, you mind praying for us, please?
Sure. Bow your heads, open up your hearts. Father God, as we come to the close of this call, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for the knowledge that we have feasted on, and let it manifest and grow within us spiritually. Nourish it, Father. Let the nourishment be that for you, Father. Let us uplift you, continue to uplift your word, and bless everybody under the sound of my voice. Keep us on the path that we pray, and give us traveling grace and mercy. At the appointed time, bring us back together again to lift you up again, Father. May something be said, something blessed within us to share with the world. We want to say thank you again, Father, in your name. Amen.
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 Y'all have a great night. Okay, y'all have a great night. And we will see. Miss Monique, what is 127? Okay, I don't know that. But y'all have a great night. and we'll be back on next Monday. Y'all, and make sure y'all share this video, okay? Share the video because we want people to be active in God. So we're not doing all the preacher stuff, but we are doing, the Bible says he will meet us right where we are. So if we can understand these topics, because we're going to keep on bringing them, share it. If it's good to you, share it on your page, and make sure you also get other people to join in with us, all right? Y'all have a great night. We love y'all, yeah?
All right.
Good night.
Good night.